Welcome, everybody. Crawl into your interior cave and listen to The Hermit
and his wife, where we talk spirituality, parenting, Catholicism, inside and out. Well, hi there.
Hey, everybody.
I just live in my pajama pants now.
I like how you say, well, hi there. Like, I haven't seen you for a while.
Hi there.
Hi.
You know why? It's because Beth and Jenna always do that on the Blessed Is She podcast, the gathering place. Where they'll have been working all day together and stop to record a podcast, and then Beth will go, well, hi there! Or, hi, friend! And then they'll say, like, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah, it's kind of a joke. So I'm just stealing their brilliant ideas.
Yeah, okay.
What are we going to talk about today? Besides the fact that I have my bunny mug. Bunny mug with some chai tea.
Bunny mug.
We're hiding from the kids.
I'm wearing the same shirt I've worn for, like, two jogs. It's not great.
You know, it's quarantine life. It's okay.
What are you gonna do?
These things are acceptable now. Yeah. There's a new acceptable level for this. What are we talking about, Anthony?
All right. So I had this. Thought of, you know, if you're in a relationship and whether you've been married for a long time, a short time, or you're engaged, I don't know, whatever.
Dating.
Yeah. So love. And in parentheses, and like your lover.
Ooh, love and like your lover. Because you can absolutely not like people that you love, and you can like people that you don't love. But if it's the person you're in a relationship with and you're trying to grow in love with them, they're in like peaks and valleys for sure.
Yes.
And well, the plains and the desert.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, love is essentially, it's an act of the will. It's a movement of the will. So even if you don't really like somebody at that particular moment, even though you've exchanged vows with them, you might not like them.
I think this comes down to a bigger question in relationships.
At that time.
Pending how long.
Hopefully it's not like an indefinite duration.
We don't know how long it's going to go on for.
That would be hard. If it is, yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to like seek... Simply tell you something.
We're in an honest space. We're vulnerable with you guys.
Oh boy.
I think that in this discussion of like the stories from our lives when we've gone through these peaks and valleys and thoughts on how we maneuver these things is also that ultimately giving of yourself and you're disciplining yourself and you're surrendering yourself in love to another person. And that is an ongoing habit that I think now going on 11 years of marriage at the end of this month, St. Joan of Arc's our feast day, May 11th. I'm sorry, May 30th, whenever our wedding anniversary is.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, you're right. I messed that one up. To look and say, how does that interplay deal with controlling yourself and moderating your own responses and recognizing when it's your stuff and you need to let it go and when it's something you need to get into, which is something that's taken me a long time to do, but it's an ongoing battle for me. I think for a lot of women, maybe not for dudes as much. I can speak for the gentler sex
dude.
Here. Are you a dude?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, wow.
Dude. Yeah, well,
So what does love entail? Tell us a little bit, like, we can talk through, like, our terms, right? We're attorneys. We need to speak through our terms. Like, what does love entail? Give us the Aristotelian St. Thomas. We want the big stuff. Bring out the big guns.
Yeah, well, if you're, well, like I said, love is an act of the will.
What's
and
that mean?
St. Thomas Aquinas talks about it in terms of willing the good of another.
Willing meaning like desiring or wanting or
right.
striving toward.
Right, exactly. And so, so love in the sense of willing the good of another, if we speak of it in terms of charity, you're willing the good of another for the sake of God, in the sense of you want what's best for their sanctification.
So not just the good meaning what they like, what's good to eat, what's good on TV, but the ultimate good.
Well, yeah, what's ultimately good, but also on different levels, because that can be sort of abstract too. You know, like
right.
wanting, you know, what's good or what's best for them, even on a like a health level, like a physical level, or and an intellectual level, or you know, like whatever. I mean, you want what's best for that person. So, but it's viewed, charity, like it's viewed under the lens of How does this pertain? How does this help someone ultimately, you know, get to heaven? So I guess my thought, you know, and sort of, you know, this idea sort of struck me is that there can be times, you know, like we said, that even if you've exchanged vows with somebody and well, you know, now the, like with the coronavirus and, you know, like things are a little bit different and maybe you've had some, I don't know, some squabbles or whatever.
Some squabbles? You're qualified to ask. It could be hard. It is hard. There are fights. There are squabbles. And that's part of the reality of being in a committed relationship.
But I think,
or even, you know, one that's on the way to being that.
But it's always good to come back to, especially if you have, if you're in a married relationship, I found it helpful to come back to the vows and to, you know, to think those through. But also it's really helpful if you're able to, even if you're sort of disappointed in, you know, like you think, oh gosh, my spouse has not paid attention to me or sort of neglected me or has just been kind of short with me or, you know, we're not having a lot of, I don't know, good interactions or like fun or whatever, is that like, I found it helpful to maybe you take a step forward. You put yourself out there and like do something really thoughtful for that other person and sort of grease the wheels of, you want good interactions, you want to have fun together, like do thoughtful things for the other person. So it's like, it's the like, it's so much more helpful. I found if the other person reciprocates and you sort of build this symbiotic sort of thing. So like you do nice things, guess what? They're probably going to respond with some kind things too. And then when there's a kindness and thoughtfulness, like a mutual kindness and thoughtfulness, then like you're so much more attracted to the person. You're so like, you want to do more, you know? So it's sort of like, it builds some momentum, in that sense. But if you don't have the like going on, I mean, it's,
you're saying that the like fuels the love.
Yeah. It's like,
love is there. It's a choice.
Yeah.
But it's fueled by and lit by enjoying and liking each other that like amps it up.
Right. So your vows are, you know, your baseline and like you're in a committed relationship and like you love the other person and everything, but like, why not have it blossom into this, you know, but, or like try to fuel this.
But I would play devil's advocate and say for many marriages and many relationships, there are so many entrenched habits over time of wounds or frustrations or heartache, and it feels like the other person is never going to change. Like you are putting yourself out there, you're trying, but it's so recalcitrant in who they've become. You can look and say like, this isn't the person I married. The person I married, we did this, that, and the other, and now it's just meh. It's like flatlined. And it sounds like what you're saying is the only person
flatlined.
The only person. Well, maybe there's like a bloop bloop. Like the heart rate is like, there's a little heart rate there, but you can only control yourself. So taking it to the personal level, like times in our relationship when it's been, I've watched you step outside yourself when I'm like, ugh. And that, like, you can only control yourself. And if the relationship is really in a hard time, maybe there's counseling, maybe there's like an outsider who can help, but maybe it's also starting with, what can I change? Right? Like, what can I change about myself or my habits and hope that like ignites the other person, right? Because I think there's lots of people listening. That's so great. In theory, did a couple nice things for my spouse. It hasn't like rekindled the fire of our love. Our fire of our love is on like a low coal burn. There's not a lot of light going on.
There's not a lot of light.
Well, give an example from our lives. Like when you started making me breakfast in bed. Because I was just this really annoying, semi-sick person who couldn't do very much. And I'm sure you were... Where did that come from? Like, that's an example, I think, that's tangible for us.
Yeah.
Where you decided to do really nice things for me repeatedly, and it definitely enlivened my spirits.
For all of you guys out there whose wives get really, really nauseous, and not just nauseous, but like, they're laid out during pregnancy, I totally get it. You're not the only one. Hang in there.
Are you saying that I'm a blob?
You can,
a useless blob that's just...
You can do it. Person. You can do it. Don't give up. Well, yeah, no, that's a good point. I think that, well, I guess a few things. One is, you can only control yourself. You can only control how you react to things. I think a lot of it goes to, Aristotle talked about this. The Aristotelian version of happiness was actually a life lived, a virtuous life. So what he meant by that was, you've lived a life, you know, for a long period of time where you've exercised virtue. And all virtue is it's a good habit. I mean, there's different kinds of virtue, theological virtues, cardinal virtues. But if you've done that, you've lived a good life, then it's actually like it brings a sort of happiness, like a complete happiness, you know, if you've done that for a long time. And St. Thomas, you know, talked about, habit. It's an inclination. It's repeated actions sort of inclines you to do something. So like in the married relationship, you know, like making breakfast in bed, it's a very tangible thing that you could do that I could do. And I know that you appreciated it and enjoyed it. And, so it kind of became second nature and that you do something like that. So, and you like doing it, you know, and it's sort of, I don't want to say ingratiates you, but it's a thoughtful gesture. So if you can build up or think of something, you know, something specific.
Specific to that person too.
Yeah, specific to that person.
You can read like websites and hear podcasts and they give all these suggestions, but you have to tailor it to the person you're in the relationship with. There are things you could do that I wouldn't really care about. I wouldn't really appreciate it. Like, oh, that's great, he did that. But something like, you do all the dishes. I wake up in the morning, the kitchen is clean. I wake up in the morning, you've made breakfast for me and the kids. Wow, you guys, the list is really long. Or even something like you're saying, I want to take care of myself and my health. And I know I, Anthony, function better when I go for runs. So I'm going to discipline myself to go to bed early enough so I can wake up early, go for a run, and I can serve my family better. And you've habituated these things that are no longer like, should I go for a run? No, I shouldn't go for a run. Should I go for a run? And it comes and goes. But I'm watching you do that and thinking like, oh, he's taking care of himself. And not in a selfish, gone for a million hours at a time, not helping with the kids kind of way, but he's doing something for himself that's going to actually turn around and plug into our family and feed our family, feed our relationship. He'll be healthier. He'll have better mental health. He'll feel better. I mean, he already looks great. But you're like investing and caring for yourself in a non-vain way that inspires me to think, well, do I really want to eat those 10 chocolates that I know are going to make me feel sick? Or do I want to do some stretching today and drink enough water? Well, what's Anthony doing? So there's like a contagion of doing something for the other person. It's also good for yourself that I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I love to bring it to the specific.
Yeah, no, that's good. I suppose a lot of what I say is abstract. Sorry.
That's okay. You're the hermit. I'm his wife.
Well, a couple of things. You know, it's funny. After we've done, I don't know, a handful of episodes now, and there's always thoughts that come later, and you think, oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that. So there's
podcaster's remorse?
Oh man, I don't. Yeah,
YouTubers or
something like that.
That's great.
There's a couple of things just to put out there because I'm sure I'll forget. One is, just like basic courtesies and sort of kindness, you know. So tone of voice or inflection. I found that if you've got something that you want to express it, if it's kind of short or, you know,
aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive. Terse. Like, I don't really respond to that really well, but if you approach it in a, you know, like a courteous way or just, you know, that I'm much more receptive to it. Vice versa, same thing for me, like sort of building the habit of like, be kind, be courteous to your spouse, the person you're in a relationship with. Like that's actually, I mean, it's sort of an obvious thing, but
no, it's really hard though,
but it's easy to fall into these. I think it's easy for myself to fall into these habits of you're kind of lazy, you're kind of thoughtless about, you know, even how you're speaking, you know, with the person that you've exchanged vows with, that you're in this committed relationship with. So that's one thing. And another thing that I found really helpful that I appreciate about you is that you're really good at communicating, you know, and saying, expressing kind of what's on your mind or, you know, what your thought is, or if there's something that's, you know, that's bothering you, that you're bringing it up.
That.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Because for me, I found it, sometimes it's hard for me to verbalize. Maybe you're the same way. that it's hard to verbalize exactly, you know, what it is that might be bothering you or something that you want to change, you know, or I don't know. So it's nice to be able to like put it out there. So even if you can't verbalize it very well or express it very well, I think it's good to at least like bring it up somehow or and convey that to, you know, to your spouse, so that you can at least talk about it or address it.
Sorry, I'm always interrupting you.
No, go.
But because when you don't address it, and we've had this, things build up and then they calcify. So when you're still fighting about something, it's still fresh and it's still a matter of contention, that's almost better than when it calcifies and you just don't even talk about it anymore. You just don't broach the topic and it's just like a dead space in your relationship. It's like a little, not even a black hole, it's like a little desert that hasn't been watered, it hasn't been tended to. So especially if you have small kids, a lot of things that for us were bad habits over time were me trying to override you with the little kids. Like, you're taking all the kids to the park and I'm yelling out there like, why don't they have shoes on? Why is that? They have sunscreen? They don't have bug spray. Didn't you know that you should pack the diaper bag this way? Blah, blah, blah. Like, nyah, nyah, nyah. When really, here you are trying to do something nice, which is Nell wants to rest, or Nell wants to be on the phone with her sister, or Nell wants to get some work done, or she wants to do a project. So I'm going to take the kids out of the house for her. But instead of figuring out, like, okay, let's sit down. When you take the kids out of the house, it's